Blog Talk Radio.
I know you're missing Mr. Sulu this time, but this is more of a magical, a little different evening, and just had to have a special kind of a sparkly, appearing, tingling sound. Good evening and welcome once again to Madam Perry Salon. I am your host and cruise director, Madam Perry, but also known as Jennifer Perry. I am so delighted to have you here. Now, if you listen live tonight on December 6th on Blog Talk Radio, if you would, please click that follow button if you don't mind, so I can keep up, know how many people are following, and that lets you also know who's going to be on the shows next and when, what's happening and when and who is it, so you don't miss anything. I try to put everything out on all the social media: Reddit, Twitter, Google Plus, Facebook, LinkedIn, everything. And then there's always somebody that's going to say, "Oh, I wish I'd known so and so was going to be on." So I can miss it. So if you follow it here or subscribe to it on iTunes, on the Madam Perry Salon page on Facebook, you'll know what's coming up, and you'll know you won't miss anybody cool. And they're all cool guests. I have been very fortunate to have some most marvelous people, the most fascinating people, come and be our guest on Madam Perry Salon. You know, last week we had a great week with we had Frank DeVille Greenville, who is a guitarist producer who's worked on music for Beyonce, Usher, Timbaland, and he's now on tour with the Gap Band. Just kind of like the person behind the scenes that makes things happen, and he was a lot of fun. We also had Heather Ash Amara, the warrior goddess, talking about her new books and projects. Wednesday we had Randy Blazak, sociologist and author, and I ended up having a co-host, musician, former Night Porter, Ray D'Africo. That was pretty cool. And coming up soon, I've got more people like Phoebe Legere, Rudy Sarzo, who you may know is the bassist for Ozzy Osbourne, Quiet Riot, and so forth, and Harvey J.K., who is a historian and author. And we're going to talk about his book, The Fight for the Four Freedoms, about America. It's mostly a lot of history about Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and I think you'll enjoy that too. I certainly am enjoying his book. Tonight, you probably already know who's going to be here, or who is here. This is a woman who's just incredible. I mean, some people know her story. When I first met her years ago on Twitter, actually, and you know how I love Twitter. But when I first met her on Twitter, one of the first things I noticed was that she has just legions of fans. People adore this woman. She's an athlete, and she's they call her water ski girl wonder. But every time it came to Follow Friday, I mean, it would take hours to go through all the Follow Fridays of people saying, you know, follow this person, you know, because she is so beloved, and it's easy to understand why when you get to know her, or just when you meet her and read her book and read her tweets, it's easy to understand why she's so beloved. I am, of course, talking about Shelley Bloom. Shelley, welcome so much to Madam Perry Salon. Just come on into the beaded curtains. I know it's a little funny here, and find a nice cushion.
Okay, here I go. I think I'll, I like this one over here that's all rainbow colored. I like that one. I think I'll sit down there.
That one is yours.
Okay, here. Sounds good.
Should be pretty nice. We had some thriller writers in here recently, Rick Cornell and Brett Wright and Carla Brady. And I think the guys had hidden some burritos in the cushion. Some people have looked for them and taken them out. So I think we're safe now. You know, I've got to clean everything. Yeah. But, yes, it is like Jeannie's bottle, as you may have heard. So we're just, get comfy. Happy to have you here. Now, you know, on Madam Perry Salon, I'm just so fascinated and so fortunate to be able to meet people like yourself. You, just to give a short bio at first, what people may already know, you grew up in a family of swimmers and water sports enthusiasts. You were doing backflips and things that other girls just didn't, other women in the business didn't do. I think they were called, was it helicopters or front flips? I don't know. I've never been able to water ski.
Yeah.
So what is a helicopter, and why were there so few women doing these things, and how did you start doing them?
Well, that's a great question, and it will lead me into giving, if you don't mind, and hopefully some of your listeners won't mind, that I give a little brief history of performance show water skiing. You know, it's been around for forever, and it's a little-known sport. I mean, when you go to any of the big parks, it is dying out a bit, but if you go to the big parks, like SeaWorld in particular, and there's actually some shows over in Germany where you will sit for a two-hour show or sometimes an hour show or 30-minute show, and the skiers will perform for you, and they'll do all kinds of acts. And I started at such a young age that I just didn't want to be stagnant. So I kept learning everything that I could, and anything that I saw being done, I, you know, because I started at such a young age, was fearless and thought, you know, I should be able to do anything that I saw any of the guys do. So you have to imagine a boat that's going anywhere from 34 to 36 miles an hour, and then a person cutting at a ramp that's 6 foot tall. So they call it, most of them are painted red, so that be like you would call it the red monster. And if you can imagine, I learned to jump when I was probably about 12 or 13. I've always been small, so I'm smaller than this giant, giant obstacle I'm about to go over. But I did it, and unbeknownst to me, it was it never caught on for women, and it's because it is such a you have to have a lot of courage, and it is a dangerous sport. And to be even more technical, there's the helicopter. You have to imagine the 6 foot skis going up the ramp, and then after you pop off the top of the ramp, you turn the skis horizontally to the water. It's called a helicopter because if you can imagine the helicopter blades, that's how they spin, you know, horizontally to the water. So that's the explanation for a helicopter. After you would work on your distance jumping in show performance skiing, you would try to learn a helicopter. The next big trick would be a front flip. It would progress, and that's where your skis are going. You're going head over heels. And in fact, I think on the front of my book cover, what you're seeing is a probably a one only, for a female anyway, picture of me. It's me flying through the air, and I'm in the middle of a front flip. And the guy is laying in the back of the boat, and I'm going over him, and he's snapping that picture. Yeah.
Oh.
And then the next harder trick is called a gainer or back flip, but it's called a gainer because you're moving forward, but you're throwing your head backwards. And when I think about it now, I mean, I'm pretty far down the road now, Madam Perry. I don't want to give out my exact age, but let's just say I'm halfway through the game. If I can get down to my goal of making it to 100, that would be great. But it's the women. Unbeknownst to me, like I said, the longer the history of our sport goes on, without sounding too braggadocious about it. And it seems like every time I get interviewed, I'm saying those words, and I hate having to do it, but I hope in the book it doesn't come off that way, that, you know, that there's a lot of that in the world. We have plenty of, plenty of people thinking about the, you know, you hear people talk about the me generation, and I certainly don't want to be thought of like that, but the longer
I can tell you, it does not come off that way at all. I can tell.
Yeah, I hope not. And that's pretty pretty much what I've heard people say in the book. I didn't want it to be too much of a woe is me book, but everybody has their, you know, their difficulties in life. But so it's just every bit of time that goes by, I have to kind of take on the acceptance of and be proud of what I did with special, you know. And so and I'm still encouraging the young women out there that they can too. It's still pretty much a males only sport. I don't think there's a female out there that's done a backflip off the 6 foot jump ramp. Not that they can't, and you know, I think that they will, but just it hasn't happened yet. So that is my, you know, little proud moment of saying I think I'm still the only one that has done the gainer. The wakeboard women are going crazy. I mean, they're doing everything. So that's not to confuse. I don't know if you know that much about wakeboarding, but it's a different discipline of towed water sport. But you're not going over the 6 foot jump ramp. You're performing your tricks and twists and turns, and the danger of it's from the actual boat wake. And you are going a little. You're going quite a bit slower. So, anyway, that's that side of it. And I can just hopefully I when I talk about it in the book, it's not so overwhelming and technical that a layperson couldn't understand it.
Well, yeah, that's true. And that's something, like I said, it's something I didn't know anything about, which is one of the cool things about doing this is how much I've learned. But
right.
Yeah, you broke it down to a lay person without talking down to us, and I appreciated that. You have that's a gift.
Well, it's
not everyone
it's,
can do
you
that.
Know, and coming from the female aspect of it makes it where I can tell it in a way, I think, the technicality of it, because there's no really muscling through the trick, if you know what I mean. And so I can give it a different kind of perspective that I hope comes through in the voice of, you know, somebody that can speak from experience, you know, because how do you write or tell a story or talk about something that you can't do or you don't know of? You know, a lot of people do fiction and research and stuff like that. I mean, I can't even believe some of the people that you were rattling off in the beginning that you've had on. I mean, wow, man. I mean, it's so funny, too, because, like, if the Gap ban, I mean, oh, my goodness, that just sent me right back into a time warp. I mean, the bells were jingling in my head and everything. I mean, I was hearing the drum, the bomb being dropped on me. And then you went right in. Yeah, then you went right into talking about Harvey J.K., who is like, I mean, he is my buddy over on Twitter. We've known each other for, like, as far back as you and I go. But and that was really cool, the way that you were explaining about how what a world has opened up in social media and the way that like-minded people can congregate and just share ideas and what I'm really starting to enjoy and embracing in my life is this transition into, you know, accepting, hey, I might have always been a creative soul and didn't know it, you know, because coming from the athletic background, that's not normally how it works. And a lot of the athletes, they've made the kind of money that they could just say, you know, whip out their pocketbook and say, somebody ghostwrite this for me. And that's not how my book came about. It originated from, you know, my heart and soul, and I just really poured my heart and soul out in it, and it was very cathartic and very it got me through some really, really low points in my time in my life. And I hope that comes through, and I hope that sharing that with other people will help them, you know, because this is the time of the year. It's supposed to be joyous and everybody's, you know, but it can get to some people too, you know, in a maybe not so great way. And so I don't know. I'm hopeful that the people that I can convince to read the book get that from it. You know what I mean? Like, if she can do it, so can I, kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. And girl, you've been you've been up one side and down the other. I mean, you and then back around again. And
yeah.
I get to the back around again, too, later. Because I remember once I picked it up, I started reading, and then I had some other book to stop and read first because I had somebody else coming on. Then I picked it up again, and I think I opened up to a section. I'm thinking, wait a minute, that's not what – and I'm like, oh, no, this is another situation. So I better get back to where I left off. And I think you know what I'm talking about.
Well, that was that's interesting because – you know, I thought, well, how far along, if we start talking, you don't want to give away too many twists and turns of the book because you want to keep people going, So when I'm at the point now where it's out there and, you know, the way I explain it to people in querying, because I'm still querying people, I'm still trying to finish the goal up and I think without telling out the audience every last part of the book. I don't want to give away too much of the goal, but let's just say that I am still querying agents and hopefully producers, and that, you know, I'm tapping on the window and the door of, you know, the Hollywood industry, because that is where the ultimate goal needs to go. And so I have been saying in my query letter, and I'll even say it out loud to you now, there's a story inside my story of me trying to tell my story. Mm-hmm. And it sounds kind of, what? And then, you know, so, you know, there's a story inside my story of me trying to tell my story so that, you know, I set goals in life so that to keep me sane. And to keep me moving forward. And, you know, for a lot of my life, those goals were all oriented around, you know, athleticism and water skiing and that type of thing. And then when that was all, you know, taken away and just disappeared and, you know, the rug pulled out from under me, I had to kind of reinvent and refocus and set new goals. And so, and it happened. I was so young, you know. I was 24, and that is a real rough time for anything life altering to happen. You know, if you can just imagine being at the height of your just athleticism and everything going for me, and then having that, you know, disappear, then to find a way to reinvent myself. Was always just about setting some kind of little goal and then striving towards that goal. Well, the goals have always been there, and then you just keep going through life no matter what it throws at you, and you keep that small goal or big goal and do little things toward it, and, you know, that's, to me, that's what means you're being successful. And,
yes.
You know, I have conversations with friends and family and just people online and stuff. And I am just really starting to crusade some. That's maybe a too strong a word. But I'm really starting to try to figure out how money and success really don't equal the same, and trying to spread that word and make people understand that it's a good byproduct of some things. But if that's your goal, you know, the richest people in the world aren't always the happiest. So,
that's the truth.
You know,
and
so, like, you know, I'll be paying attention to, you know, somebody asked me, well, how many books are you, you know, and it's like, That's not how I'm going to start measuring my success anymore. You know, I'm going to measure my success on how many people enjoy the book that read it. And if that's, you know, a high number, or in the scale of going back to school, you know, remember A, B, C, you know, if I can be a B or C plus or an A in that ratio of how many people reading my book are enjoying it, then I'll take a B. I'd rather have an A. And at this point, I think I could say my teacher would give me an A. You know, ratio of people reading the book, ratio of people reading the book, and then ratio of people enjoying it, you know? And that is probably more important than it's hard for me to, you know, because you have all these dreams of, oh, blah, 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 New York, you know, New York bestsellers, never going to happen. You know what I mean? But that end goal that you know about, that other people will know about if they read the book, that is out there. And a good story is a good story is a good story. And I've been saying the words lately, you know, like the old cliches, wheat from the chaff, cream rises to the top, all those old, you know, colloquial sayings from, you know, from the Midwest. I grew up in Missouri, so we got lots of those kind of sayings. And well, you're up in Georgia. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes,
yeah.
Definitely. I may even come up with one before the end here. But also, before we go any further, I'd like to say, if you're listening and you would like to talk with Shelley Bloom, the number to call is 646-716-9922. That's 646-716-9922, which is toll-free from anywhere in the continental U.S. So just go ahead and call, or some people message me on Facebook with questions. That's perfectly fine, too, but please do. And so let's start, and let's go back to the beginning. Let's go, you grow up in a family that's into water sports. I mean, big time into water sports. I think that just seemed just a way of life for you, you know, swimming, diving, and then everything else. And then you began skiing, and competitively and professionally.
Well, not really competitively, because although I could have probably gone that route and done fairly well, I would hope that I could have, but I was never trained that way. And because of our family situation and the way that it was working for my mom, and, you know, she ended up being a single mom, my paychecks were all going to help household bills. And so I was, you know, from 12 years on, I was, you know, helping out my mom in making ends meet. So that was a better thing for me than to try to become a competitive skier, because, to be honest, you have to have a lot of resources to be a competitive skier. I mean, the boat, the equipment, the gas, the trainer, the teacher. And I didn't really have anything like that. I was going at this with, you know, as a summer job that could make a little bit of money, that would help, you know, like help my mom make ends meet. And then I, like I said before, I couldn't see not progressing every summer. You know, I'm just that kind of person. And so whatever, and, it, you know, I picked up on being able to do the female aspects of skiing quite quickly and easily. And then the more dangerous and difficult skiing was what I saw the guys doing. And so you have to imagine a 13, 14-year-old watching, you know, 25, 30-year-olds and thinking, you know, hey, nobody told me I couldn't do that. And then when I started doing it, I did run into some difficulties with, well, I'll just say it, you know, with some sexism and some, you know, misogyny. I mean, just guys not really understanding and not appreciating and not being supportive of a girl being able to ski as well, if not better than they could. And that at such a young age, I didn't really realize what was happening. As I grew older, you know, every summer that I would go back to ski, I realized it more and more and more. And this is back in the 70s and the early 80s. And then I got hurt in 1989 was the end of my skiing career. So it's quite a while ago, really, you know. And so it was even worse then. But because I was just so in love with the sport, I, you know, just pushed through. I didn't let it keep me down or hold me back. And you hear about stuff that's happening today to women, and it's still a big problem. I mean, yeah, Virginia Slims, and we've come a long way, baby, and all that stuff. But it's still not quite where we want it, although it's so much better. And then when you hear some of the people, some of the women, you know, it's just, you know, every generation stands on the shoulders of the generation before. And I just want to make sure that I'm not one of those women that does not appreciate what happened before, and that, you know, to pay propers to the people before me that were pioneering and pushing through all of those stereotypes and you know, that kind of thing.
That's encouraging to hear. Yes, because I think sometimes people have forgotten what the generations before, and it's not that far back, what the feminists fought for, and don't realize how far young women that can.
Yeah,
the glass ceiling,
my goodness,
is still intact, but there's a whole lot better than it used to be, and it's going to be even better.
Yes, and I, you know, and so we just have to keep pushing forward, and, you know, I struggle with it so much because, you know, the feminism lately, it's like there are women out there and they don't know whether they want to be called feminist or not feminist, and feminist has been getting a bad rap lately, and it's like I'm a feminist, and I think I know a lot of men that are. You know, I mean, in fact, most of the men that I talk to are diehard feminists. It just means that they know that things should be more equal. You know, that's it. But it doesn't mean that it doesn't mean that I want to, like, not have men be men either, you know. But it also doesn't mean that I don't want to understand the more effeminate male. So, I mean, there's room for everybody. And I think that, if I can just, like, I enjoy, as nerve-wracking as it is to do a blog talk radio, you know, and I hope somebody actually calls in and asks me a question. That would be fantastic. Or text you or Facebook you and ask a question. That would be fantastic. But as nerve-wracking as it is, I think it's more exhilarating and important to do it, because even though I'm just a tiny little voice, and so are you, you know, the more voices that we get together of like-minded people, I mean, it's exciting to think that it can be something so small that can grow into something that means more and more and more to more people, because God knows we need to, you know, unity, you know,
mm-hmm.
like-mindedness. There is so much more that we can get resolved and solve problems and everything like that. So, I'm all about letting men be men and women be women, and at the same time, I'm a proud feminist. I think, you know, I think everybody has their vision of what equality means to them. We fall short of it. We will always, you know, all the minorities and anybody struggling for equality, it will always feel to certain people like it isn't there yet. But if we're continually moving in the right direction, you know, and golly, I didn't mean to get so deep so fast and all philosophical on you, Madam Perry, but hey.
I'm digging it. I can dig it. Cause this is
no,
a feminist,
I mean, you know, and I have been feeling this way lately. I have been feeling this way. I have been getting deep in thought lately, and it's probably because, well, let me just say it, you know, like last night we had a storm come through, and I'm like this weird human barometer because of my injury with my neck and stuff. I promise you, it's like I know when these things are happening, and even just like social media wise, I don't know if it's like I'm just like the sponge of a barometer of things, but like and that sounds really self-consumed, and I don't mean to be that way, but what I'm trying to say is I'm feeling it. You know what I mean? I'm feeling it on social media so much so that, like, I've been pulling back a little bit. And I had a really good friend of mine. His name is Ronald Harvey Gordon, and I've known him on Facebook. He's on Twitter, not as much as Harvey JK, but Ronald, he'll hopefully hear this, and he'll know what I'm saying. He asked me today, because I haven't seen you, where you've been. And I have pulled back because the more I'm out and push myself out, it's almost like I'm feeling other people's hurt, you know? Does that make sense? And I just
feel
like, yes. Yeah, and I know that sounds crazy. And I know I don't want that. I don't mean for that to make me sound crazy, but, like, it really does affect me. And I see the people's posts, and I'll do the, you know, they give you the little thing where you could used to just be the thumbs up or thumbs down, and now you got the other things. And so sometimes I think, oh, my gosh, I hope nobody takes this the wrong way. And I'm saying it right now, if anybody's listening, when I do the heart and I do the love, even if it's a bad situation, it's because I'm sending you love. And sometimes I'll say that. Like, you know what I mean? Don't you feel a little weird?
Yeah.
Like, if you do the wrong, you know, don't get me wrong. I mean, this is a horrible situation that I just heard you tell me on Facebook, but I'm giving it a heart, or I'm mashing the little heart button because I'm trying to give it to you.
Right.
If,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That makes much more sense, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, but, you know, and I don't know if it's, you know, well, I didn't really want to talk about the election, but I know there are a lot of people that were, you know, disappointed, but then there was a lot of people that weren't. So I think I'm feeling it both ways, and it's like, you know, you can't make jokes about it too soon, just like, do you talk about it too soon? That kind of thing. And I'm just hopeful that, you know, we can move forward, you know, and everybody, like, just set those small goals and move on instead of, you know, thinking in the past and being what if. Because, boy, I tell you what, it had been historical if we'd seen the first woman president. It didn't happen.
Oh, yeah.
It will. You know? It will.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
It definitely will. Yeah. And this was a pretty... But don't get me started. Don't get me started. But yes. And by the way, for Empath, this is if you a lot of my shows have been following on this kind of theme. So what you're saying is not that odd or unusual or whatever. It's
the last thing I want people to think is that, like, it's, you know, just a self-absorbedness. It's not. It's the opposite. And so when I'm, you know, like I have, you know, I'm a single mom, and so I've got things I've got to do. So when I put myself, the more, and that's for anybody, the more you put yourself out there, the more you're spread thin. And so when you see and feel the hurt or the empathness of it, then the only way to protect yourself, and this can spread out into such a big theme and such a big way of thinking, that you have to be okay and good to yourself first, you know, and that is not a conceited or self-absorbed way to be. It is the only way that you are able to give back, and that can start individually. And then it can start communally, and then it will spread. So when you're ready to do it, when other people are ready to do it, they are doing it. But at the same time, when people are depressed or hurt, whether it's pain, whether it's mentally, whatever form or fashion that it is, they have got to heal first, be it mentally, be it physically. And I just happen to a lot about the physical side of it, but I also, and as I get older and learning more about the mental side of it. And so for you to be able to be any good for yourself and to others, you know, I really feel like, you know, healing yourself and paying attention to what you need to do to recharge is what everybody can start trying to do. And then that way they have more to give out. I mean, and that can be spread out into the broadest of terms, whether, like I say, it's you and then your community, your city, your state, mm-hmm. your country, the world.
And, you know, and if I can, I wanted to stop. Oh, heck, did I move away from it? I wanted to go. This might be a good time for me to, if it's okay, go ahead and read a quote that you have in your book from Golda Meir.
Oh, yeah.
And because it's just the time for it. And it says, I remember a quote from Golda Meir. She said something like, if I am not for myself, who will be for me? But if I am for myself only, what am I? And if not now, when? And then you followed it with faith. My when is now. This is where, and you mentioned.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Yeah, isn't that great?
Faith is the name of the, it truly is the name of the attorney that, like, you know, pulled me out of, and I think in the book I only went through like three of them, but to be completely honest with you, I could probably go back and look up some of the paperwork on it, and it was really more like six workers' comp attorneys that I had to go through until I knew I had the one that was believing and understanding where I was coming from. Do not treat me just like some number. This is not a quantity situation. It's a quality, and it's the quality of your representation of me. I'm not going to just be one of your numbers. You need to treat me like a professional athlete that lost his or her career. And she finally did, and her name was Faith. How cool is that? And she's out there. She probably won't hear this, but eventually she might. You know what I mean? Or at least know how. No, I think I you know, nothing else. And what I've been doing lately, Madam Perry, is I've been sending out books. And I mean, obviously, I want to sell books, but like I've been giving them as gifts. So I am definitely gonna. You've just reminded me to get on the stick about that and get Faith Horning Teaching. That's her name, and get her a book. She's up in Orlando. And she'll get a kick out of that. But, yeah, and that other part about that. Oh, and let me just correct one thing. I have a friend of mine. His name is John Anderson, and he's a really cool guy. He's a writer, and he's, you know, I know him through Facebook and everything like that. And I think he corrected me. I saw the quote in a Golda Meir biography. I don't think she said it, but she was quoting a famous rabbi. So there, I kind of messed that up a little bit. Yeah. So I knew because John Anderson was looking that up, and he's like, I was trying to look up Golda Meir in that quote, and I couldn't quite find it. But then I dug a little deeper, and I'm like, oh, this is what I did. So I attributed it to her only because I heard her quoting it, but actually she was quoting a famous Jewish rabbi. So, but it just was profound to me at the time, and you have to understand, I'm probably like. At that time, I'm probably about 28 or 29, and I, you know, I had to get through this horrible situation after I lost my skiing career, and I just, you know, I was so young, and I was just floundering, and I was searching, and, you know, I started reading books on philosophy and just getting anything on my hands on that I could read because part of my injury was I couldn't talk. And I'm a talker. Yeah, I mean, I had my jaws were wired together for 2 months, and then we had the whole thing, then we have the whole other episode out in L.A., and I can't talk again. So there's some real symbolism to that. I mean, you know, it's like the book was me finally being able to talk.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, I see. I'm going to stop just a moment here because I've got a new sponsor tonight. He's a life coach, Sky McKenna. Yeah, and delighted to have her. And we're going to play her spot right now and be right back. And if you want to call Shelley Bloom, 646-716-9922.
Somebody call in.
Yeah, now. Let's see. Okay, where's my promo? There we go.
Are you where you want to be in your career, your marriage, your relationships? Have you tried and tried to achieve your goals and failed? With a little help, the best possible outcome for any situation is achievable. I want to introduce you to Skye McKenna. Skye is a professional, results-oriented counselor, creative strategist, and intuitive and master astrologist who has provided counseling and guidance to people just like you worldwide for 2 decades. Skye McKenna will help you achieve your full potential. Take that first step right now for a better, happier, and successful life. Contact Skye McKenna at intuitivelifeguidance.com. With Skye McKenna, you will receive clear, honest, understandable guidance, a creativity boost, and connection to answers you already have within you. Reach out to Skye McKenna right now and change your life. intuitivelifeguidance.com.
All right, Skye McKenna, Intuitive Life Guidance, and she's going to be sponsoring again tomorrow night, and I think she's going to be dropping on the show sometime in January, so that will be another something to look forward to. Before we get back, she's pretty impressive. Before we get any further, something I've got to say to you, because, you know, we've been talking about, you know, you're still querying, and then you're checking out this should be a film. I've had a few folks, well, not just a few, I've had a couple of folks on the show this year that were filmmakers, and well, about 3 or 4 actually, and also I had a guest last month, Jennifer Irwin. She has a book called Dress the Color of the Sky, but before it's even published, it's already been she's already signed for the film version of it. So,
wow!
Yeah, that's, before the book's not even out yet.
Wow, good for her.
I know, and I met her on Twitter, just like you and Harvey J.K. So,
yeah.
And she said the good thing there, that one of the best things for her was that her boyfriend's an attorney, so he's negotiated her contract.
Oh, yeah,
good.
Exactly. Yeah, because I've had little nibbles, and they always say, you know, and a lot of them are just form letters. They're just like, no, thanks, but no thanks. And you work up a tough skin. I mean, I have a tough skin for that. I'm okay with the rejection. In fact, it kind of, in a weird way, it encourages me. Because even if I can just get a response of no, that means I'm closer to the yes. And so
it's a numbers game in a way like that, I think. You have to go through a lot of
yeah, definitely.
And, not now, before you get to the yes. And also, Holly Overton, who writes for a TV show called Shadowhunters and has written for, what was it called, Cold Case and something else, and her new book is Baby Doll. I'll connect her. I'm telling you.
You should. You got to connect me, because I'm at the point of I have the visualization, and I did, you know, and without giving too much of the book away, I'm going to say this out loud. Mm-hmm. And I did write that screenplay back when, you know, so I know a little bit of the formatting, but things change over the years. You just want to put out the best quality piece of work that you can. And eventually it is going to get in front of the right set of eyes, and they're going to go, oh, my gosh. And what I wish I had done, and I said this in another little interview I did a little while back, is I wish I had started out my book in screenplay format. And so that, you know, it sets it up as a different kind of a read, and it's like all of a sudden your reading is like fade in, and then the roar of a Harley-Davidson. And so I would go down, I would... You see what I'm saying? Because you know how the book goes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, by the way, we have a caller in here. This looks like somebody in my neck of the woods. Welcome to Madam Perry's Salon. Come on in. Introduce yourself, please.
Tony C. Davis.
Tony C. Davis. Wonderful, Tony. So glad to have you here. And I want to introduce you to Shelley Bloom. And I'm pronouncing your name correctly. Is it Bloom or Blum? I feel so embarrassed to ask you
Blum.
Now.
Yeah, Blum.
Okay. Shelley Blum. And so this is Tony C. Davis, who also has a podcast. So, you know, we may be just lining you up one show after another.
Oh, good. Have me on, Tony. I'm excited. Come sit down by me. I'm in the chair that's got the rainbow on it.
Yeah, Tony, go ahead and get a nice cushion, because you know the inside. I know you've heard that the inside of Jeannie's bottle. I mean, inside of Madame Perry's salon looks like Jeannie's bottle. Now that you're here, Tony, you see it as true. So find a nice cushy cushion and sit down next to Shelly. And we've got somebody else walking in here through the beaded curtains. So let me bring them in, too. Hi, welcome to Madame Perry's salon. Delighted to have you here. And please come in and introduce yourself.
Hey, it's Rick McIntyre.
Rick McIntyre,
Hi, Rick.
The poet?
Yes.
Hey, Rick, I'm so glad to have you here. Okay, so we have Rick, this is Shelly Bloom, the Water Ski Girl Wonder. And Shelly. And so now we have Tony C. Davis here and Rick. Gentlemen, we're delighted to have you here. So, Tony, do you have a, want to start with you? Do you have a question or comment for Shelly?
Well, I was just wondering if there was a plan to write another book or work on a screenplay for the story.
You know, I thanks for coming on, Tony. You're brave. I love it.
Is that Tony or Rick?
That's Rick.
Is this Tony or Rick?
Rick.
Rick.
Okay, that was Rick. Okay.
Oh, Rick. Oh, I'm sorry, Rick. So
okay.
I have been encouraged by some of my friends that have read the book, and they think I should write another one. But the way that this one came out of me was it was such a form of, like, I was almost like possessed. I wrote this thing in 25 days, and I couldn't do anything else. And I don't feel that way about a book yet, but I do feel that way about trying to reinvent and reimagine. And I see the whole thing in my mind, and I originally wrote this as a screenplay, so I know a little bit about the formatting, but I also know how particular Hollywood is about it needing to look and feel, and I'm out of that loop completely. So I'm looking to try to connect maybe with someone that understands those hurdles to jump through, because the story is there, and I have my little elevator pitch, and I'm going to say it now. Think Forrest Gump combined The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, but it's a water skiing chick, and it's all true. Okay, that sounds really big and bold. It's like, oh, my God, I can't believe that. Blah, blah, blah. But it would give you the sense of what the way that I see and envision the scope of the movie, although the storylines are completely, you know, different. The characteristic of the protagonist is that it's the complexities and the characteristics of those two characters are there, if you know what I mean, in the Shelley character, which is so weird talking about myself in third person, but you'll forgive me, right, Rick?
Yeah, of course.
Well,
so,
to answer your question
more quickly, somebody help me write a screenplay. It's ready to just, we can knock somebody's socks off. And also, yeah, I will probably try to do another book, but I have to be just completely possessed, and I don't see that happening. I'm thinking down the road, like maybe 10 or 15 years, you know?
All right, then.
Yeah. Thanks for your question.
All right. Well, thanks a lot.
Hey, thank you very much, Rick.
Sure, and we'll talk to you soon, Jennifer.
All right, sweetie. Thank you, dear.
Bye-bye.
All right, so thanks to Rick McIntyre, who is a pretty interesting fellow himself. He's a poet and writer. So, Tony C. Davis, this is your first time to visit Madame Perry's Salon. Welcome.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me.
You know my BFF, Kenya Colbert. So.
Yes, I've heard of her.
Yeah, I think you've dropped it on her show before, too, Everything Relationship.
Yeah. It's been a while.
So what do you think, and coming from all the things that Shelley has been through, you know, she had the accident water skiing, and then, of course, you know what that means. That means also having not only that she lost her career, but also as a professional athlete, but which is bad or worse, but having to deal with the pain, all the medical situations, the pain, the operations, depressions, and insurance.
Mm-hmm.
That's a nightmare in itself.
Yeah. Well, I'm very interested in hearing more about her story and also reading the book. I appreciate the opportunity to come on. I just started a new show myself, and using a platform actually for video. I did a story the other day, or interview, with a young man, and his testimony pretty much reached a lot of people. So possibly have her on the show one day.
Absolutely. You know, there's I jump at any opportunity. You know, it's all about connecting. And in fact, that's kind of when you're, I'm hoping that when people read the book, and I've had, like I say, I mean, the ratio of people connecting to this book that read it, that connect to it, is quite high. So that was my goal. And so in that goal, I have to give myself an A. And so to spread that even further in a bigger platform, I'd love to come on your show, Tony. I mean, that sounds like really cool. It's a little bit more scary, especially I've done one other video. But, you know, you got to get out of your comfort zone to spread your word or to connect with other people. And that's what it's all about, you know, connecting with other people and staying positive and staying focused on whatever goals that you're trying to achieve. You know, you most likely have to get out of your comfort zone to get to those goals. So have me on. I'm ready. We'll exchange information whenever you want. Okay.
Definitely. And Tony, I booked a client of mine on your show once, Sherry Meeks.
Yes, Sherry. And she and I, stay in contact from time to time, and she's doing well.
Being on your show. So, yeah, that would be great.
I do appreciate it.
And, you know, Tony, I know you're a person. Tony, as I know you, and that's one another reason why I'm glad that you called. I know that from knowing you, I first met you when I booked a client on your show, and then you know, from other shows I listened to you on and on Facebook. And I know that you're someone who really, really wants to give a lot of encouragement and facilitate a lot of healing for people emotionally.
Oh, yes.
As well as.
Yeah, that's what I, you know, thrive on, you know, helping other people.
Exactly.
And I think too, like with Shelley, as you can imagine, as I was saying, with everything she went through, there's the physical pain, the doctors, and then you get into depression because you know your life has suddenly changed in just seconds. In seconds,
yeah. And see, and I have to jump in here. There is always the but, because all of that, you know, I have to always remind myself. This happened to me, that happened to me. But I'm still here. I'm still walking and talking. And just, I have to say this out loud. There was a, not too long ago, I think it was the 28th. I don't know him. He's not a friend. He's a young kid. He's 24. His name is Ben LeClaire. And that's LeClaire, Ben LeClaire. You can Google him. And he is on his road to recovery. He had a wakeboarding accident, and he broke his – he has a spinal injury, and I think it's at C4 or C5. I'm not really sure, but he is in the middle of a real, real situation. So whenever I'm trying to sit there and go, oh, poor me, like even last night I had a bad night. The storm came in, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, heading. So I'm pacing. But I got myself back from the ledge, and the whole time I was thinking to myself, what about this guy? What about this other person? Because for any time that you're feeling sorry for yourself, you're still in the game, and you're still fighting, and there's somebody out there that's fighting too, and maybe a worse battle. So I just had to throw out this guy's name, Ben LeClaire. I'm thinking about you, buddy. You're going to get through this. And God willing, you know, who knows what wonderful things will come out of this. But I know he's in a lot of despair right now, and I just wanted to give a shout-out to him. And Road to Recovery, Ben LeClaire, if I guess he's got like a little fund, you know, where you can send a little money in to help out in the recovery, because I didn't have anything like that. So, but it's okay. I made it. I'm doing so much better. You know, I'm walking and talking, and this guy may be struggling to do that. And he's got a friend out there, Brad Schmaley, and he broke his neck at C4 wakeboarding also. And he's in a wheelchair, and he's fighting his big battles too. So whenever you want to start feeling sorry for yourself, it does no good to do it. So anyway, I just had to throw that out there. Sorry.
If you look around, there's always somebody else worse off than us.
Yeah. And so that goes a little bit back to my little pontification about, like, you know, making sure that you're solid within yourself and doing whatever you can for yourself so that you can do more for others. And when I'm in a position and saying, oh, I'm nervous, I don't want to talk, I don't want to go, you know, on that blog talk, or I don't want to do that, I mean, that's ridiculous. Because if you know, they're going to be, sure, they're going to be, you know, people that are like, oh, gosh, who does she think she is, and haters and whatever. But there's going to be one person out there that maybe listened to this and said it helped them. Or one person that went, like, you know, that was encouraged. Or even talking to you, I'm supposed to talk to you because you get me to the next person, or Rick was on earlier, or however it all works out. Because, mm-hmm. But you have to keep going forward, you know. You have to keep pushing the uncomfortableness without making other people uncomfortable.
Oh, and yeah. that's a delicate balance too. That really is. If I could just kind of go.
Hey, well,
I'm
gonna have to jump off. But if you would just okay. Give me your contact information, I'd sure appreciate it.
I'll give it to you, Tony. I'll introduce you to each other, and I'll give it to you. And give
I
yours
really
to Shelly.
I really do appreciate
Shelley
it. Thanks
well.
A lot.
Thank you so much, Tony. Thanks for dropping in.
All right. Bye-bye.
Well, that
what
was nice to have two gentlemen visitors.
Yeah, what were
it?
You going to say? You were right on something that sounded like
okay,
it was going to...
Okay, I've got something I'm fascinated with. Tell us about, and I don't mean, just I know that I'm just kind of jumping around like chasing a squirrel, but tell us about meeting Queen Noor and King Hussein.
Oh, wow.
I just think she's a fascinating woman.
Yeah, that was really, it's so funny because it's like one of the most proud moments of my life, and at the same time, one of the most angry moments of my life. I think back on it now with much more pride in meeting her and King Hussein, but it was just... it was almost like an out-of-body weird experience. Without giving away too much of the book, I was in the ski marathon, the ski race, and I was pretty certain that I could do it, but I was being made fun of because people were telling me that it was supposed to be like a team effort, where like one, two, and three people could ski, like, you know, you would take turns. And I said to whoever was putting it together, well, would you mind if I skied the whole way on my own? I mean, has that ever been done, or can I do that? And they just laughed at me like, you know, no, it's impossible. Nobody's ever done that. But yeah, if you want to try, be our guest type of thing. So you have to imagine I'm on my jumpers. Thank goodness that's the only way to have made it through this water, because in the beginning it was pretty smooth. But then once we got out into the Red Sea, because I'm over there I mean, Aqaba, Jordan, which is at the tip of where there's Egypt and Israel and Jordan and I forget the three countries exactly, but, you know, over in the Middle East pretty much. And I'm skiing in the Red Sea, and it's 9 and 10. And I say 9 and 10 foot swells, but to be totally honest, if anything in the book, I didn't want to embellish to the point of people thinking, oh, there's no way that could happen. But there were even some swells that were as big as 12 and 15 feet. But I just kept it at 9 to 10 foot swells. And I would lose sight of the boat. And, you know, I was crashing up and through and over waves. And I explained it pretty good in the book. But then at the end, when we landed, there was some confusion, and I won't go into all the details of that because that's what adds to my anger about being told I hadn't finished the race when I felt like I did. But the king and the queen were on the dock, and I didn't know it. And I'm in the water just like, you know, cursing and saying words I shouldn't without knowing the king and queen are on the dock ready to greet all the people coming back, you know. And so anyway, it goes on. But, like, I got up and I spoke in front of the king, and he had this real thick Arabic accent, and, you know, and I apologized. You know, I'm shaking his hand, and I'm receiving a trophy, and I'm apologizing for what I was saying in the water, and it's kind of funny. And then I moved to her, and she just looked at me like, and she's not that much older than me, I don't think. I think maybe, you know, I don't know. She seemed like more my age almost. Back then, although I do think she's probably, I don't know, 10 or 15 years older than me. But back then, she was just like this hip, really cool looking. I think she's from California or something. But she had no accent, and she just looked like an all-American girl. But it was the queen, Queen Noor, shaking my hand saying, wow, that was amazing. You know, that was amazing that I had skied all the way to Egypt and back and all of that bad water, and I never fell. And that was what was swirling at the dock. That was what was going, you know, and people were whispering and saying, and even my guy friend, there were different teams, and there were three American teams, and I was on the team that had all three girls, just girls, and I skied the whole way by myself. And the other two American teams, one team dropped out, another all-guy team. The one guy in particular, Joel's my friend, and Punky, another kid, his name's Bob, but they call him Punky. And Joel, and they just kept coming up to me, just like over and over, you didn't fall. And I'm like, no, I didn't fall. They kept saying it over and over, like, really, you didn't fall? I'm like, no, because it was that crazy. You know, it was really, but I was afraid for my life because I don't know who they were, whether they were, you know, Iranian or who, but there were gunboats. And I mean, it was like, are they chasing us? Are they flirting with me? It was really, and I tried to make it come off like that in the book, that it's kind of comical, but at the same time, I felt like that if I did fall, that I was, my survival was at risk. So
ooh,
I did everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. But a very, very proud moment, but very, very angry moment. And when you read it in the book, you'll understand the details of it much better and why I was angry. But in that moment of shaking the king and the queen's hand after doing that, and her looking, pulling her sunglasses down to look into my eyes and say, wow, that is just so amazing.
Oh, gosh. See, now
yeah.
You put us there. You said that about the sunglasses. It gives us a picture. The queen.
Yeah,
Noor
yeah.
Was
the
born.
Picture. Yeah, it's. Yeah, I have a picture in on Facebook where that very moment is happening, and she's pulling her glasses down to say to me, you know, wow. And so it's really weird how I have a couple of pictures like that. Like, I actually have a picture. Well, I don't even want to tell that because that tells too much of the story. But at the end of the book, you know, I had that other mishap happen, and in my gallery
of photos. You got to buy the book to read about that, folks. You got to buy
yeah,
the book.
Yeah. I don't want to, you know, and that's, I had the trouble with my arms, and I'm in the middle of that dive, and there's a photo, which is weird. How could you know what I mean? Like, right before I'm about to hit the water. So.
Shelley's book is called Waterski Girl Wonder, A Journey of Perseverance. And you've seen everything I've written about it, on all the social media, follow Shelley on her journey from the Ozarks to Egypt and even the back alleys of Hollywood streets as she perseveres through more than her share of grueling setbacks. As it says here on the back, you don't have to be a water skier to enjoy this inspiring true story by the first female freestyle water ski ramp jumper in the world. Now, I've got one thing I've got to say. I got to ask you.
Okay.
Shelley. I'm going to have a part two with you. This is just not enough time.
Yeah, I agree. I'm all, you know, pencil me in. And wouldn't it be great when I get to come back and say, guess who's optioned? I got Rick found somebody, or Tony found somebody, or anybody. Harvey J.K. or Marjorie Walshaw. She's written a new book. I'm throwing her name out there because it's called Full Color Life, and it's just out. You can get it for 99 cents, but it's a creative book. You should get it.
Okay.
I haven't gotten it yet because she only just told me about it yesterday. But Full
Don't
Color Life.
For me?
Marjorie, Walshaw. And she is going to be so totally up your alley because it's Full Color Life. It's got a rainbow splash on the front of the cover, and it says How to Live a Creative, Balanced Life. And she's all into screenplay, right? I need to hook up with her too. But I need to find somebody that reads the book, falls in love with the story, helps me write the new screenplay, and bada bing, we're walking on the red carpet eventually. I mean, this just has to happen that way. I don't see it any other way.
I can dig it. And just so you know, I did study film unit publicity at UCLA under the esteemed Henri Bollinger. Just so you know.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
Let's do it. Let's do it because you know what? I've got people. I've got some like some silent kind of silent partner guys. And you know what? And here's the thing. When the women are behind me, they are like you are, like 150%. But what's really weird is like the men, there's so many of them. You know what I mean? The women just, if women aren't into it, they don't say anything. You know? Do you know what I'm saying? Do you know where I'm coming from?
Mm-hmm.
But the men are just so, and so I've got these guys, two in particular, that we could, I haven't had anybody just that I felt comfortable with saying, you know, you said you wanted to help me, like, financially, like, invest, because I'm not that
mm-hmm.
kind of person. I don't care about the money side of this. I care about the ultimate goal. And I, you know, I don't, it's just like, you know what the goal is. I mean, you've heard me say it. It's in the book. There's a story inside the story
yeah.
of me trying to tell the story. And so I'm not happy and I'm not satisfied until the self-fulfilling prophecy of what I know has to happen happens. And I don't care if I make money, but if you make money, and or not even money, just the success of making, setting the goal and making it happen. And right now I'm at that point of saying, where's the publicity person? Who can help me spread this word? You have to believe in it 120%. 150%. But if you believe in it like you say you believe in it, I can get the guy, the silent partners, which are, you know, still men run the world, all right? I mean, that's where, I mean, not that women
yeah.
don't have money, but women are busy
yeah.
with their husbands and their wives and their kids, and they don't let go of their money as easily. Right? Because they're not stupid. You know what I mean? Not that men are either, but I've got some guys that I know that I could, they're my go-to guys, and I haven't been moved in the momentum or in the way that I could say, look, you know, I've been talking to Madam Perry. You got to know this girl knows what she's doing. She's got these degrees, blah, blah, blah. I've been waiting for that. Maybe you're that person, because if I can get somebody else to believe me, I can't keep doing it myself because I feel so weird doing it, Jennifer. It's like me.
Yeah.
Because I'm not that way.
I can dig it. I understand it completely. And, you know, I've even had some people when somebody did some short-term project work for recently about his book, and I'd say something like, you want to send this contract? No, I want to be exclusive. I want you to send the contract and get the contract back from me, because that way I look more exclusive. I said, you know what? Okay, that's good. That's fine. I can understand that completely. And that's what I did for this gentleman. And didn't bother me at all. You know, it's
yeah.
just, I understand where you're coming
well,
from.
You know, and I,
yeah, my
I had this one gal, and I was really keen on maybe using her. And then when it came time for, like, you know, talking nuts and bolts and dollars and cents, I was like, she just threw this blanket number out at me. And I was like, well, what does that mean? And what does it get me? And it was like, then it kind of fell apart because, I mean, I'm at the age in the stage of the game where it's like, if you don't have the enthusiasm for the story, then you're not the person. And the reason I knew that she didn't understand the story the way that it should have been was in us having a conversation. And I probably shouldn't even say this because it doesn't matter. I don't mind. Is that in the phone, she's like, well, you kind of lost me when you were talking about your summer vacations in the book. And she kept talking, and I just let her say what she was saying, and I thought, summer vacations? What is she? You know what I mean? It's like, she didn't read, there's no way she read the book if she thought that what I was doing was summer vacation stuff. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And
oh,
then
yeah.
I was like,
oh, believe me, I know.
You know what I mean? It was like, so she maybe went to the website and saw some, like, pictures and then put together my story in her mind of what was going on. I was like, whoa, wait a second. And that was all it took. You know, because right now what the world is craving is integrity and authenticity. And if you know it and you can smell it and you can see it a mile away, then and if you walk the walk and talk the talk, and I do, so that when I hear, all it takes is one little thing in a conversation, the more you let somebody talk, the more you'll find out, you know, are they authentic? And I'm all about, in fact, I made up a little thing. It's called COFA. Consistency, out of sight, out of mind. Familiarity breeds contempt. And the last A is authenticity.
All right.
You
like
know
it.
What I mean?
I'll
so, like, if I
yes.
feel
yes.
those things radiating from somebody, you know, jingle, jingle, the beads are in the background. You know what I'm saying? Groovy. Then
yes,
I'm,
yes,
then
yes,
I'm,
yes,
and that's who I'm supposed to be talking to.
Right, right. I believe, yes, I amen, amen, sister.
Amen, right?
Amen.
And amen.
Raise the offering plate. Yes, I got my hands up in the air. Yeah, I like it.
Jennifer, we're going to stay in touch, and we're going to do another. You're going to help me with my publicity, and we're going to put some feelers out, and we're going to find us a kick butt screenwriter, and we're gonna get on an elevator with Kathleen Kennedy, or Steven Spielberg, or somebody, or Clint Eastwood. Except that he's busy doing another true story thing about a girl getting kidnapped by some Somali pirates. So
busy.
I'll let him do that.
But
first.
You know, I've got an entire book of all the film houses, the productions, the agents. I've got and what they want, what their tent poles are that they want, what they do and don't want, how they do and don't want it. I've got an entire directory of that.
You
got to
do it
then.
Are you excited? I'm excited. I hope somebody's out there listening. They will listen. They don't listen in live that much, but like when I start putting this out there a little bit and I can say Harvey J.K., you know, and I'll figure out the guy from the Gap Band and da-da-da, you know, and then I'll tweet
Frank
to them
DeFil,
and everything.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, and then I'll say, look, you don't got to listen to all of it. You know, you don't have to listen to all the BS, except I don't think any of it's BS, just between you and me. But, you know, here you are. Move the cursor over to, 45 minutes and 10 seconds, and your name's there. And then, you know, they all do it. Everybody does it.
Yes, always. Yes, they do. You are so right on with that. You know, I've got to ask you forgiveness. I know I've kept you a lot longer than I said I would, but I just
That's
couldn't
okay.
help it.
I'm having fun.
I was
so much more nervous than I'm so glad. I mean, next time we do another one, I'll be so much more relaxed. But like I said, I really did. I don't. My daughter told me, Mom, don't tell them too much. But like I had a really bad night. Like when I woke up today, I it was bad. I was like, and then it was raining all day and. That's all part of that, you know, the physical side of my problems, but also the empathy side of it. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I don't, you know, I'm going to. But then now that we're doing this, I feel like I've worked through it, and now I'm on a total, like, I call it, you know, I mean, I'm not, like, you know, bipolar or anything like that, but, like, I'm feeling my roller coaster is going up. And just last night, it was so low.
Come on.
You
and
know
remember,
what I mean?
I'm not
the salon has had the effect I knew it would.
Good, because Shelley, I swear I'm not as mean as I look, okay? I just promise you that.
You had a question. What did you want to ask me?
I lost it now. I just enjoy this so much. Oh, I do have one question I wanted to ask you. I do hope that you will come back and at least visit or step in here with us when I have Harvey J.K. on.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. I love this guy because we come from different – he's so political, and we come from different – like, I'm a registered independent, and he's like an FDR, liberal, progressive. He is just – and so, like, I got this political side to me. In fact, I even have a degree in political science, but that's neither here nor there. But anyway, I would really like to come in and you know, pull his chain a little bit because I love Harvey. He's cool.
That would be good, and that would make him feel – because I know sometimes people, if they don't know you and don't know the show, they're a little nervous coming on, and I always go – and sometimes I'll say, I'm not as mean as I look, and they'll go, oh, well, you don't look mean. Well, see, now I'm trying to – then why are you afraid? You know, it's why are you nervous?
It's good for me because it's not the same as going 36 – well, and when you're cutting at the ramp, you're going faster. So between 40 miles an hour, 40, 45 miles an hour, you hit the ramp, you slow down. You're throwing your head backwards off a 6-foot jump ramp. You're 10, 12 feet in the air. It's not the same as that, but it is exhilarating. And I'm so glad you've had me on. I'm really not as crazy as I sound.
I'm glad you just gave us that visual to feel. Because, you know, when you talk about needing more women in the sport or not enough women, a couple of years ago, my hairdresser, Mandy, she got involved in those CrossFit classes. And then she took courses and became a trainer. So she worked part-time as a trainer and part-time still as a hairdresser. And then finally she got me into it. Okay, I've never been the athletic type in any way, shape, or form. And here I was. I started on every year on my birthday. I don't say what day it is, but every year on my birthday I do something special that day just for me. And maybe I'll go out with people that I enjoy being with, but I don't tell them it's my birthday. I just want to be with people I really like.
I know.
And
it's like, I'm that way too. It's like low-key, let's not, don't do anything. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and when I started that, the CrossFit, my husband was going, you're getting up at 4:30 in the morning to go there and doing this stuff. Of course, it was. Well, there were a lot of women between the age of 55 and 65 in there. And
wow.
We were there, you know, every morning at 6 a.m.
Wow.
going at it. And it was exhilarating, you know, and it's
yes.
just to do
yes.
things.
It's a completely different set of endorphins and you know, all the stuff that the chemicals in your body, it's just like, zzz. I mean, you get really, you get set on fire. I mean, it's totally motivating. I mean, there's nothing, when I can do anything physical, and now I'm it's relegated to like, I'll vacuum like a mad woman, you know, work up a sweat. But then when I'm done, it's like, I'm feeling like, wow. And that's instant reward too, you know, the carpet's clean.
Listen, I want to say thanks again, too, to Tony C. Davis for calling in and for Rick McIntyre. And also, there's another person, Drew McCollum Fenton. She was in a class, so she was kind of like halfway listening but trying to do her class at the same time.
Oh.
But she's going to come.
Oh, okay.
And I also want to give her some love because she didn't get out of the class in time to call in, but she's still with us. And I love you
oh,
for
wow,
that, Drew.
Great.
I really do. And thanks so much, everybody. Get the book, you know, I've got it all over Facebook and everything. She, and if you get on Twitter, you'll see that Shelley Bloom, she's the most beloved woman on Twitter. I can tell you that right now. And
oh,
it's
that's
easy
so
to
nice
see
of
why.
You. Yeah, I really worked hard at that too. I just, in the beginning of this process, somebody said, build a book platform. I didn't, you know, and I didn't even know what that meant. Way back in 2012, I was like, okay, you tell me to do it, agent. I'm going to do it. And boy, howdy, you know, I mean, that's the way I've been. And, you know, I just, it's the new exhilaration that I get in social media. And then, you know, my sister thinks I'm a little bit crazy because I, you know, she's like, Shelley, you don't have any friends. I'm like, are you kidding me? I don't say it like that to her, but I'm saying it now. Tamara, are you kidding me? I have such a family and friendship and kinship from online, and I'm sorry, but that's fine with me. They are just as good of friends as if I would see somebody every day, you know? Just like now, you're my friend, man.
So yeah, and it's fun. It's really fun. All right, but also don't forget, folks. Sky McKenna, she's an intuitive life coach, and we're going to be talking to her sometime next month. Thank you so much, Shelley Bloom. We'll get you back for part two, hopefully maybe in January if you have time.
Yeah,
and,
that sounds
thanks.
Good. Let's start moving forward, and you get in touch with me. Email. Let's move. Let's move on this. You want to?
Yes. We will. And I love you. And get her book, Water Ski Girl.